We're going to continue in our series this morning on Nehemiah. So our reading is going to come to us on the screen now, and then after that, Martin will come and speak.
Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1-23. When Sanballat heard that we Jews had begun rebuilding the wall, he became furious and began to ridicule us. In front of his companions and the Samaritan troops, he said, "What do these miserable Jews think they're doing? Do they intend to rebuild the city? Do they think that by offering sacrifices they can finish the work in one day? Can they make building stones out of heaps of burnt rubble?" Tobiah was standing there beside him, and he added, "What kind of wall could they ever build? Even a fox could knock it down." I prayed, "Hear how they make fun of us, O God. Let their ridicule fall on their own heads. Let them be robbed of everything they have, and let them be taken prisoners to a foreign land. Don't forgive the evil they do, and don't forget their sins, for they have insulted us who are building." So we went on rebuilding the wall, and soon it was half its full height because the people were eager to work. Sanballat, Tobiah, and the people of Arabia, Ammon, and Ashdod heard that we were making progress in rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem and that the gaps in the wall were being closed, and they became very angry. So they all plotted together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. But we prayed to our God and kept men on guard against them day and night. The people of Judah had a song they sang. "We grow weak carrying burdens. There's so much rubble to take away. How can we rebuild the wall today?" Our enemies thought we would not see them or know what was happening until they were already upon us, killing us and putting an end to our work. But time after time, the Jews who were living among our enemies came to warn us of the plans our enemies were making against us. So I armed the people with swords, spears, and bows, and stationed them by clans behind the wall, wherever it was still unfinished. I saw that the people were worried, so I said to them and to their leaders and officials, "Don't be afraid of our enemies. Remember how great and terrifying the Lord is, and fight for your relatives, your children, your wives, and your homes." Our enemies heard that we had found out what they were plotting, and they realized that God had defeated their plans. Then all of us went back to rebuilding the wall. From then on, half of my men worked and half stood guard, wearing coats of armor and armed with spears, shields, and bows, and our leaders gave their full support to the people who were rebuilding the wall. Even those who carried building materials worked with one hand and kept a weapon in the other, and everyone who was building kept a sword strapped to their waist. The man who was to sound the alarm and the bugle stayed with me. I told the people and the officials and leaders, "The work is spread out over such a distance that we are widely separated from one another on the wall. If you hear the bugle, gather around me. Our God will fight for us." So every day from dawn until the stars came out at night, half of us worked on the wall, while the other half stood guard with spears. During this time, I told the men in charge that they and all their helpers had to stay in Jerusalem at night, so that we could guard the city at night as well as work in the daytime. I didn't take off my clothes even at night, neither did any of my companions, nor my servants, nor my bodyguards, and we all kept our weapons at hand.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that it contains. We thank you for the way that it can inspire and shape our lives. Our prayer this morning, Lord, is that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear again your message, that you would speak clearly into our lives and challenge and inspire us where we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning we continue our series on Nehemiah, a wine taster to a foreign king who had a call from God to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem and to rebuild the nation of Israel into the people of God once again. For those of you here who have not heard any of the series, let me give you a quick recap. Nehemiah firstly hears from a cousin that Jerusalem is still in ruins, and this breaks his heart. As he prays to God about it, God gives him a vision to see the walls rebuilt and the people restored. Before Nehemiah approaches the king to ask to go back to Jerusalem, he prays for success. God makes him wait 4 months before he's allowed to ask the king. In that time, Nehemiah puts together a strategy to get the job done. On his return to Jerusalem, Nehemiah has to pull the people together, share God's vision to them, and encourage them to join him in his mission. If the people of Israel are to restore the walls and be restored as the people of God, they will have to work in partnership. So that's the story so far. A story of vision, strategy, and partnership. It is a story of faithfulness and commitment to God and a desire to do his will. But what happens when that desire is tested? What happens when people speak against us? What then? How easy is it to keep going? That's exactly what happened to Nehemiah. He faced opposition from outside the walls, but also he faced discouragement from within the walls. And his response is one of confidence. He has confidence in his plans, confidence in the people of Israel, but most importantly of all, he has complete confidence in God. Today's reading is all about Nehemiah's confidence in God and his plans. After all, God has brought him this far, and his God will give him success. I'm sure that many of us here today have had plans and dreams, things we have wanted to do or achieve, and we have seen them dashed or broken. We have been ridiculed or discouraged, or even faced outright opposition when we've outlined our plans. As individual Christians and as a church, I'm sure that we have had ideas and dreams that we believe have come from God. Things we have felt he wanted us to say or do. Schemes that we felt he wanted us to complete. And as we have sought to bring those ideas, those dreams, those schemes into reality, we faced opposition. Opposition from people who do not share our faith. Opposition from outside the church. But also opposition from those closest to us, our family, our friends, or from people within the church. How do we face that opposition? How do we deal with the inevitable pain and stress that this causes? That is where we look to Nehemiah. How did he deal with opposition as it arose? How did he handle disappointment and doubt? What can we learn from his story today? In this reading, we learn 3 key lessons for our lives and the life of our church. The first thing we learn from this passage is that conflict is inevitable. When we do something radical, life-changing, or different, it will cause a stir. Whenever we do something that we believe is from God, we are sure to face opposition. Sometimes God's plans and the actions that we make as a result can bring fear to those around, because when God is at work, the world has to take notice. People fear what they cannot see or what they don't understand. And when they see Christians acting with complete confidence or a total commitment, then that can be scary. How can we be so confident, so sure? How can we know what we should be doing and have the courage to keep going in the face of opposition? People don't understand, or they can't see God at work, and so they are fearful. If things can't be neatly boxed, then they become scary. And our experience tells us one thing about God. We cannot box him up, and we cannot contain him. But this conflict is not just man-made. It isn't just born out of the fear of the unknown or the unseen. It is not just because people can't handle the way that we act. There's a spiritual dimension to the conflict also. When God is at work, when his people are doing his will, and we are working together, then that upsets the devil. You see, there is a spiritual battle going on between God and the devil. And the devil will do all in his power to cause conflict and disunity in God's people, because he does not want us to succeed. The devil will rise up opposition to try to stop us or to discourage us. And that is exactly what is going on in our story this morning. Although the Old Testament doesn't really use the language of spiritual battle, there is clearly a fight going on between God and the devil all through history. Since the days of Adam and Eve, the devil has been around, disrupting, delaying, and unsettling God's people, turning them away from God and leading them to break their covenant with him. And that is exactly what is happening again in this story. Nehemiah is trying to bring the people back together and bring them back to God. And the devil is using every trick in his box to try to stop this from happening. In this story, Sanballat and Tobiah are his chosen weapons. Their lust for power and status is what is being used to stir them up against Nehemiah and the people of Israel. They can see what Nehemiah is doing, and their ridicule turns to fear, and that fear leads them to try and destabilize God's plans by bringing their armies and those of their friends to effectively surround the city of Jerusalem. They know that Nehemiah is building more than walls. He is rebuilding community and is rebuilding the confidence of the people in their God. And if this goes unchallenged, the people of God will become powerful. As I reflect on this story and the fact that we will face conflict when we do God's will, I find myself asking, who are the Sanballats and the Tobias in my life, in your lives, in the life of our church? Who are those that are trying to stop God at work? Those who are trying to derail our plans or our mission? Who are those that are pouring scorn or ridiculing what we are trying to do? Who are the people that shout opposition towards you when you live as God wants you to? How do we protect ourselves from such people? How do we make sure that we continue to do God's plans in the face of such opposition, both spiritual and physical? Conflict is inevitable when we do God's will. We will face opposition, both human and spiritual. But we need not be afraid or put off from doing what God wants us to do. He will give us success if we do his will. In the face of such opposition, it is very easy for a group to split, for factions to develop, or different opinions to emerge. And if the group is not careful, then disunity will bring down the best laid plans. The best way for us to protect ourselves from such opposition is to stay united. If we are to stand strong in the face of opposition and spiritual attack as a church, then we must remain united. Opposition can take many forms. It can be direct and from the outside, as with Sanballat and Tobiah, but can also come from within, from those who do not share the vision or from those who are feeling worn down by the work of making the vision a reality. That was the case for Nehemiah. Some of the people were worn out. The work was hard and not very exciting. They were getting fed up, and with the increasing threat of attack from those around, the idea of building walls did not appeal. In verse 10, we read of the song that the people of Judah sang. We grow weak carrying burdens. There's so much rubble to take away. How can we build the wall today? They were singing this song as they shifted rock or built walls. It reminds me of movies, the songs that are sung maybe in the chain gangs while prisoners break rocks or maybe are building railway tracks or whatever. Or maybe the songs of slaves crying out to God for their deliverance. That's the kind of thing that the people of Judah were doing. The people were worn out. They were scared of attack. And Nehemiah's wall was losing its appeal. I wonder, do we get like that? Are we worn out by the work of the church? Is there too heavy a burden on our shoulders? Are we doing too much? Is the work of building God's kingdom too tough? If things are to be achieved, if plans are to be fulfilled, if God's purposes are to be seen, then the community needs to stay united. In the face of opposition and threats, in the face of spiritual attack, then we should follow the example of Nehemiah and pray. Prayer should be a natural part of our lives and a natural response to opposition. All through Nehemiah's story, we see him turn to God in prayer for strength and support, for guidance and wisdom. God never fails him. Nehemiah's prayer in verse 4 sounds quite harsh and bitter as he calls out for God to punish Sanballat and Tobiah for their actions. But this is the prayer of a man facing opposition and spiritual attack. And he is calling out to God for his protection. But it's not just Nehemiah who prays. He encourages the people of Israel to pray also. In verse 9, we see reference to the people praying, the people of God calling out to their God for help and for courage. You see, we learn from Nehemiah that in the face of discouragement and disunity, prayer is key. There's an old Catholic slogan, I believe it was used for a mission campaign quite a few years ago. And it says this: a family that prays together stays together. A family that prays together stays together. The idea of this slogan was to encourage families to prayer, to encourage families to get together and talk, to interact and to pray. And it was felt that families that lived in this way would be less likely to face breakdown in the family unit. Prayer was seen as a way of keeping the family together and keeping the family connected with God. I believe that this slogan is applicable to God's church also. The church that prays together stays together. In the face of opposition from the outside, in the face of disagreement and disunity within the church, the best thing that the church can do is to pray. Pray for unity. Pray for a clear sense of purpose. Pray for wisdom, strength, for patience. Pray. Pray in your home groups. Join for prayer at prayer breakfasts. Pray during our services. Pray after our services. There are always people willing to pray with and for you in that area under the cross. Or maybe you could set up your own prayer group, maybe a prayer triplet, or maybe a few friends meeting together to pray on a regular basis. However you choose to do it, pray. Prayer is the key for unity. And unity is key if we are going to fight oppression and disunity. The final thing that we learn from Nehemiah is that God is always listening. That God is always watching over us. And if our plans are God's plans, then he will give us success. You see, for Nehemiah and for us, there is one key fact that needs to be remembered. God is invincible. In the face of opposition and disunity, God is not found wanting. He does not desert Nehemiah or his people. God can be counted on to watch over the people. Nehemiah takes practical action to protect the people. They are armed and they have guards. But the work doesn't stop. The walls keep rising and Sanballat and Tobiah never attack. God proves himself bigger than the armies of Sanballat and his friends. They witness the confidence that Nehemiah and the people have because God is with them. And effectively they run scared because they realize that God's people stand firm in their resolve to finish the task that God has given them to do. And they see that the people stand united in the face of opposition. God gives the people the strength to face opposition, both the worldly opposition and the spiritual opposition. And the same strength is available for us today as we face opposition in our lives as individuals and as a church. We too can draw on the strength of God. But how? We get the answer in Ephesians 6, where we are encouraged to put on the whole armour of God. We are to put on this armour to protect ourselves from the tricks of the devil. We are to put on this armour to protect ourselves from the spiritual battle we will find ourselves in when we do God's work. We are to wear truth as a belt, righteousness as a breastplate, good news as our shoes, faith as our shield, salvation as our helmet, and the word of God as our sword. We are to arm ourselves spiritually to fight the unseen enemy in the same way that Nehemiah armed his people physically to protect themselves from the seen enemy. God does not promise an easy life or a safe life. He does not promise us a life free from opposition or from pain. He does promise us his protection and his power. He does equip us to stand strong in the face of opposition. We must not be worried when opposition comes our way. We are to expect it. We must not allow discord to creep into our lives. We must remain united. And we must pray. And we must arm ourselves with all the weapons that God gives us so that we can do his will. And with this, we will find confidence to keep going. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the example that you've given us in Nehemiah. A man of courage, a man of vision, and a man full of confidence. Confidence in you. Lord God, we pray that you would give us that same confidence. That we would be bold enough to follow your plans, to stand firm against opposition, to speak out in your truth, and to fulfill your purposes here in this city. Father God, we pray that you would give us each confidence to live for you. Whatever we do any day of the week, in our work, at school, at home. Give us the confidence to follow you and to speak out for you. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.